Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you back, everybody. As you may be well aware, social distancing still taking place here in Manitoba, so not at the studio, live in my living room once again, but I'm happy to have somebody who we had on the show before come back. We're not going to waste too much time doing the intro because I got a great interview for her, or great intro for her, so let's get into that now, because back in 2015, we featured and interviewed a young 17-year-old netminder from Nova Scotia here on The Hockey Show, who played for Team Canada's entry at the Under-18 Women's World Championship in Buffalo. I don't know if we helped at all with our goofy interview style for future interviews that she did at the University of Maine, where she was their star goalie, but I'm pretty excited to have her back on the show tonight as we get caught up on everything that's been happening in her life. As stated, she was dynamite in the blue paint for the NCAA's Maine Black Bears, where she set all sorts of goaltending records for the program. She'll always be a silver medalist at the Under-18 Women's World Championship. And she can now say she's a professional hockey player after being selected third overall in the 2020 NWHL draft by the Buffalo Buttes. She will, without any doubt, be a star in the crease in the city of Buffalo. Ladies and gentlemen, I am honored, privileged, humbled, proud, and very pleased to welcome back to the show Miss Carly Jackson. Carly, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I am very good, thank you. How's everything going, obviously, in present time with the isolation and keeping distancing from everybody?
Yeah, I mean, it's good, all things considering. Luckily, I'm home with my family, so I've been able to spend some time with them, which has been pretty lovely.
Everybody's healthy. Everybody's doing well on your side of the coin here.
Yeah, everyone's doing well out here, luckily.
Good. That's good to hear then. Super. Since we already met you, we're not going to go through all the whole background thing. If you want to go back and listen to that, folks, January 22nd, 2015 is the date she was on. You can find that in the archives. But we will go digging through the last 5 years because that's how long it's been since we talked to you. So we asked you last time you were on the show about choosing Maine out of three schools that came to talk to you. Obviously, the decision to go to Maine worked out pretty well, I'd say, right?
Oh, I'd say, yeah, that's for sure.
Again, I mean, we'll go back just to touch on that. What was the decision to go to Maine? What prompted you to take that opportunity?
Honestly, it was just when I got there, I was always so drawn to Maine. I still have a goalie coach who is a former coach for the Maine Black Bears, and I worked with him as I was coming up through my teenage years, and I just adored him, and I just thought he was absolutely brilliant. So he was a volunteer goalie coach at Maine for 5 years, so I was already automatically drawn to Maine. So then when I got to campus, as soon as I had my tour and I met the coaching staff and I met the players, I immediately said, this is it. I'm going to be a Black Bear. Actually, after I got in the car with my parents on the way out of my visit, I said to my parents, I said, I don't think we left the parking lot. And I said, I'm going to be a Maine Black Bear. This is it. And my dad was just telling me to chill out. He was like, oh, you got more schools to see. Don't make up your mind yet. Just relax. And I said, nope. I know this is it. I'm going to go see the other schools, but this is it for me. And it couldn't have worked out any better.
Yeah, no, that's awesome that you had, you know, you sort of found the place right away in terms of getting into a place you liked. You mentioned on your last appearance here on the show that you really didn't care about what number you were wearing, having worn 31, most notably before you arrived in Maine. Got to ask you then, after everything you did now with the Black Bears, is 33 your new permanent number?
Yeah, it's. I've been thinking about it because a couple people have been asking me. They're like, "Oh, are you gonna stick with 33? Are you gonna change up some numbers?" And honestly, I'm not sure yet. There's a draw to 33. I haven't quite decided if it's my staple for Maine or if it's something I want to continue on. So right now, I'm kind of stuck between 33 and I really like the number 70. So we'll see what I end up deciding. I'll probably just make a last minute decision.
What's the designation for 70? Is there any reason behind that?
I just like the number 7, and typically a goalie is never really going to wear just the number 7, so a 70 is a nice look, and Holtby wears 70, so I like the look of the number. I like him, so I just got a weird draw to it. I'm not really sure why, I just like it.
Hey, nobody's judging that. I mean, it's a cool, I mean, I think that odd goalie numbers are kind of better than the traditional ones, so no, you won't get a complaint from me on that. Obviously, first year you went there, a little bit different as you weren't playing very much, redshirted the first year. What was that like for you when you got to Maine and sort of were told, well, let's just let you sort of ease into this?
It was honestly, it was the best thing I ever did in terms of my career. I think it was definitely challenging not playing in games, but luckily I worked really closely with the starter at the time, Megan Treacy. So she set an excellent example for me and just showed me the ropes and really took me under her wing in terms of not only just figuring out hockey and women's hockey and university hockey, but really just in life. I mean, she was just a great role model for me. So working with her was phenomenal. And then just having the extra year to just develop as a person and develop maturity wise and confidence wise. And I really needed that year. So that was so big for me in terms of coming in my freshman year and being able to start then. So the redshirt year was hard, but it was definitely needed. And I'm so grateful that I was able to do that. So
you mentioned the maturity and sort of getting into, you know, just figuring things out, moving away, being on your own, not really having anybody sort of, you know, safety net you and catch you if you fall. Was that an important piece of that, sort of learning how to navigate the waters on your own?
Yeah, it was huge. I think I was quite a mess in terms of figuring out my life and juggling school and athletics and I wasn't even playing in games at that point. So having that year to just figure it out and make mistakes and just figure out how to juggle it and everything, I definitely needed it. It would have been even more of a mess, I think, if I hadn't redshirted. So it was just huge in terms of my personal development, and luckily I was able to do that.
I mean, no fault of your own. You figured it all out, it seems, in terms of navigating any of the mistakes that you may have made, which is okay. But again, I think that, you know, the fact that, you know, you spent an extra year there and certainly getting into the whole university, I think that's one of the things that maybe is overlooked a lot with university athletes is that, yeah, redshirting does suck. I mean, everybody wants to play, but that first year of just figuring everything out is so important. I mean, living on your own, doing everything, sort of, you know, getting used to the new environment, like, that would be pretty traumatic for a kid who's, you know, who's just 18 and moving away from home, 5 hours away from home for you anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, I'm surprised it's not seen more often, especially in goaltenders, because typically goaltenders will come in and have to sit a year or two and then they'll get a chance to start. But luckily with me, with the way that worked, where I had Megan Treacy, a senior my redshirt year, it was just a perfect scenario because I was strictly just training. So I was doing, you know, twice as many skill sessions during the week. And then on weekends, I would be working out when the team was getting ready for the game. And I really just bought into the process. But being able to do that, I was able to work with world-class coaches and athletes for a whole year to really just make these big changes in my game and these developments. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen more often in the future. I mean, it was one of the greatest things I ever did. And if anybody gets an opportunity to do that, I would absolutely tell them to take it.
So let's dive into that freshman year then, because you had some pretty big milestones that year. Obviously some, you know, first start, first everything that came along with that. 2016-2017 saw you you reach a major milestone on October 15th, 2016. Do you recall why that day was big?
I do. That was when we upset BC. I think they were number 5 in the country at the time.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah, we played them at the Auburn Arena in Maine. And the place was pretty packed, and we won 3-2. That was special. That was really special. So that was my first win, and one of my biggest wins in my career, I would say. But that was just incredible. I still get chills just thinking about it.
Do you know why else that win was big?
I think it was because we broke their Hockey East streak.
You certainly did. 52-game Hockey East undefeated streak that you guys snapped with that victory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one felt pretty good.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't doubt that. Longest in Hockey East history, and you guys went out and stomped all over it, which was awesome. Highlight of the night, obviously, Vendula Pribilova, who tipped the shot past Katie Burt with 37 seconds to play, giving you guys the 3-2 victory. Huge win. What do you recall about that? Obviously, about your first couple of starts in that night, obviously. Like, are you nervous, like, knowing that you're kind of the goalie now?
Yeah, I think there's some nerves. I think my very first one was I think we lost 3-1 to RPI was my very first start. And I remember being nervous for that game. But after that one, I just kind of just sat in it. I was like, you know what, this is what it is. And you got nothing to lose. Like, here you go. You just go out there and give it your best. And I remember for that BC game, like, it was fun because the rink was full and we know BC is good, but it was that same mentality. It's like, you got nothing to lose. Just go out there and play. And I specifically remember when she scored that goal, just the feeling of the rink exploding and just the emotions going through everybody. It was so fun. And I remember we, after every win, we sing our school song, the Stein song. in the locker room, and I just remember everyone screaming at the top of their lungs, singing that song, celebrating that win. So, I mean, those are the kind of things that I remember rather than nervousness, I would say.
Kind of a weird question, but did you keep the puck that night?
I did.
Yeah. That's awesome. Good. I mean, you got us not only a puck of your first win, which is super important, but I mean, it also represents that 52 game undefeated streak being broken. So I think that's super cool that you kept that. Second milestone happened later that season, February 2nd, 2017. Do you recall what happened that day?
I can. Oh, what is it?
27 saves and a 1-0 victory over UConn for your first ever shutout.
Yes, I do remember that. That was our senior weekend as well. So, we needed that to still have a hope of getting into playoffs.
That's correct.
Yeah, that was a big game.
What do you recall about that night in terms of going into it? Like, do you feel any more pressure knowing that this could be it if we don't pull it out?
No, I just remember just senior weekend always being so fun because we always just celebrated all the hard work and all the hours and all the effort put in by the seniors. So I just remember that night. It just felt like we were always playing for them. So. It was just easy to work for them. I mean, there's always amazing people and that you get to play with, but particularly that year, it was just about working for each other. So there's nerves and stuff. You want to keep going, but it was mostly just fun.
So your rookie season, I mean, again, not that anybody's going to complain, pretty decent campaign, .911 save percentage, .284 goals against average, not bad numbers. Record was a little deceiving at 7-19-1, which again, doesn't really speak volumes as to how you guys were playing. I mean, you guys were in a lot of those games, so that's good. But looking back, how do you feel that your freshman season went overall in terms of just how you progressed as a goalie?
I think it was a good start. I think that was a huge thing for myself and for my team in terms of experience. I mean, that was a tough year for us. We lost a lot of close games and we really struggled on the road. I think we only had one road win all year and that was tough. And I think moving forward into the rest of my career, that class, we just realized that, you know, we never wanted to have a season like that again. We wanted to pull through in those moments and we wanted to really show what we could do. And we saw flashes of that, like just like the BC game and that UConn game where we pulled out a 1-0 win. Like we knew we had the potential, but we just want to do that more often. And I can definitely say the same about my own performance. I felt, or looking back now, I feel that was a big growing year for me. I would say what I struggled with at that point was consistency. There'd be a great game Saturday, but then Sunday I'd probably let in one or two that I would definitely want it back. So I definitely looked on that year a lot, and in sophomore year I made a lot of changes in terms of my gameplay and my mentality, but it was a good start, and it was definitely drove, I think, our class to be better the year after.
So I mean, I'm glad you brought up some of the stuff that you thought maybe wasn't working so well, because I was going to ask you, I mean, what did you work on between that freshman season, that sophomore season? Because your sophomore season went ridiculously well compared to the previous season. So what changed for you between those two seasons? Did you work on anything specifically, or was it just an overall sense of everybody putting in the effort that's required at that point?
Personally, for me, I worked really closely with our goaltending coach, Alex Gettens, and he and I just clicked immediately. So that was really nice to kind of have in my back pocket, was working with him every week and every practice, and him and I got along so well, and we really just dialed into that year in particular. It's quite funny, actually, looking back now. At that time, I was quite a reactionary goalie, but that's what I was comfortable with at the time, so at that point, I was playing pretty deep, and I was pretty much solely relying on athletic ability and reactionary ability. So with him, he's like, if this is what you're comfortable with, this is what we're going to go with. So we just kind of kept making these tiny adjustments throughout the year, but kept building on the strengths that I already had. And then I think ultimately that just improved my confidence, and I think that was a big key to being successful that year. And honestly, I'd say that's quite a theme for our team that year in general. We had a nice win streak going. I think it ended up being 11 games, somewhere around the end of first semester and then into Christmas break. But the biggest thing was just that was the first year in a long time, I think, that our program had seen an exciting amount of success. So it was really fun to be a part of, and it was really fun to go to the rink every day, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, talking about the success, your sophomore season in the main nets was rather spectacular. 17-12-5, you started 34 of 35 games for the Black Bears that season, posted a 1.95 goals against average and a 924 save percentage with three shutouts, while you set the record for single season wins in one season that year with the 17 wins that you did pick up. Obviously things went really, really well for you guys, but you also wrote the 2017-2018 Black Bears into the record books a little bit as well. Do you recall what happened that got you guys into the record books?
I would say probably the BU series win in playoffs.
That's one of them. Yeah. There's another sort of piece of history on that as well, in that you guys became the first team that Boston University ever visited in the quarterfinals as well.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, looking at that, I mean, you guys played extremely well and got the number three seed, and obviously that's fantastic. What do you recall about the success that you guys had that year? Like, it seems like everything was going in the right direction. Everything was going well. You enter the playoffs, and all of a sudden, you know, Alphonse Arena is the place to be.
Yeah, I mean, I just remember that year being so much fun. I think we just had so much belief in our ability to really get anything done that we needed to. It was such a joy coming to the rink every day, and it was fun, of course, you know, when you're winning. I mean, that certainly helps things in terms of team morale and spirit and things like that. But we just knew that we could compete with anybody at that point. I mean, the year before we struggled, but we still beat BC, so we knew we had it. And you know, we came in this year and we had some tight games, but we were winning them. So we just believed that we were really capable. And then in that first playoff series, when we did host BU, I remember we won the first game and you kind of feel it. And in their second game, it's a best of three series. So the second game, you can kind of feel that we maybe had a little bit too much confidence. And then we ended up losing, I think, by the same score, 3-1. So then now we're in the best of three, third game. And we ended up going down 3-0 in the third period. And that belief never really went away. You could kind of just feel it in the rink. The first two periods were a little bit slow. And then the third period, it just shifted. It felt like the ice kind of tilted. And Brooke Stacey scored a hat trick and tied the game up. And then Teresa Vanasova scored an overtime to win that. And it just, you could feel it in the rink when it was coming. And it was just incredible. And I still get chills talking about it. But I just remember trying to skate as fast as I can down the ice to celebrate. But that was one of the most memorable things of my entire hockey career, for sure.
So, I mean, you are right. 3-2 in the first game, as you guys won for the first time in 11 attempts at a playoff game. So congratulations on that. It was a 4-1 loss in the second game before, as you mentioned, the 4-3 overtime victory. I mean, that's exactly the way that it should go. I mean, you guys battled hard all season and then battled through a tough, you know, first two periods to get to the third period and then secured victory. But you advanced to play Northeastern, which was another first in Hockey East history, as Maine Northeastern had never met in the playoffs. What was that series like, though, after the euphoria of beating Boston University? Because it sounds like it was a much different series compared to the previous one.
It was very different. Northeastern was always a strong club when I was at Maine. So we always seemed to play well against them as well, which was really fun. And I always loved playing against them. And we played in Matthews Arena, which is Northeastern's home rink. So I love that rink. It's very much like the Alphonse. So it felt a little bit like home. But the strange thing was actually because we had placed higher than them, we had the home bench and everything in terms of logistics was almost reversed. So that was kind of strange being in their rink, but being the home team. So I think that was kind of a throw off for everybody. But I just remember that game. It was such a battle. It was just so back and forth. And there was a lot of prime opportunities for both teams, but pucks didn't seem to go in when you wanted them to. And I remember in the third period, we were down 2-1 and we had a breakaway and it was so close that it just didn't go in. And, it was a good game. It was a really good game all around and they're an excellent team. And I think they went on to win Hockey East that year, but I remember playing them in that game and how close it was and how good it was and thinking, okay, this club is going to be good in the next few years, that's for sure.
So Hockey East, I mean, after you guys were eliminated, Hockey East handing out awards, and they clearly saw the work you were doing and how special the season was for you. As you were named a Women's Hockey East All-Star Honorable Mention, I'd argue you probably should have been voted higher, but that's just me. Did you get an award or anything for that? Did they give you any sort of honor for that?
Yep. So when you make the Hockey's Championship, they have a banquet for the teams that are remaining.
Yeah.
So when I was there, I got a certificate and things from Hockey East, and I was honored there, which was really nice.
Oh, that's cool. And good for that. Your head coach, Richard Reichenbach, am I pronouncing that right? Reichenbach? Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure I had that right. Was named as the Hockey East Coach of the Year as well in 2017-2018. You mentioned, you know, your goalie coach obviously being a big impact. How important was Coach Reichenbach's, you know, instruction and certainly his teachings in getting you to where you are today as both a player and a person?
Yeah, I can't say enough good things about Ricky. I'd say the biggest thing in terms of his and I relationship is just he always believed in me, and I just value that so much. And he just has so much passion for the program and his players and everybody he works with. He just wants to help everybody as much as he can and really just make it the program and each other as best hockey players as he can and even better people. And honestly, the greatest thing about Ricky, I think, is that he's always learning. I think there's significant improvements in his coaching ability from year to year. And he always just learned from every mistake he made and every success. And I think that's why he is a brilliant coach, is he's really a lifelong learner. And he just has so much passion and love for everybody around him.
So you guys come off that season, pretty big season in terms of making the playoffs, going to the semifinal. Obviously, everybody was pretty pumped. 2018-2019, though, you put up great numbers again. 27-28 games started, a 207 goals against average, a 920 save percentage, three shutouts. But things didn't go so well elsewhere on the ice as you guys sort of fell backwards a little bit. What changed in your junior year then? What was it, just a matter of graduations? Was it a matter of something else changed? What caused the step back for the Black Bears that season?
I think the biggest thing is we were really shifting in our culture. We had just a lot of people were just going through a lot of life stuff at that time, unfortunately. And I think that kind of reflected into our play on the ice. I mean, realistically, I think that was probably one of, if not our most skilled team to date at that time. So we had high expectations. I think in the preseason poll, we were voted 8th or 10th in the country. So, you know, we were excited in the beginning of the year and we just, you know, we were pretty pumped. And I think we just kind of let our foot off the pedal a little bit. In terms of what we needed to do on a daily basis. So it was a tough year for sure. We still had a lot of fun as a team, I think. There's tons of great stories and tons of memorable games and things like that. But I think when it just came down to it, we lost a lot of close games and that was tough on team morale. We just couldn't really pull together when we needed to, unfortunately. But it was tough coming off a historic year and then not making the playoffs the year after. But it certainly was close, that's for sure.
As you mentioned, I mean, you guys did miss the postseason dance after the success you found in 1 year earlier. Again, we've been told, and I don't know if it's true. I know that, you know, people always say that adversity builds character, that losing some of those one goal games and maybe learning how to win is an important step, especially for a hockey team. Is that maybe what was going on a little bit in terms of a year of struggles like you had in 2018-2019, just sort of learning how to win again?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had a lot of freshmen coming in and of course they had seen the success the year before. So I think everyone was like just so excited to be like, oh, we're really good now. We're really good. And then not getting the results that we wanted was incredibly frustrating. So I think it was just a huge shift in terms of we knew that we knew and then we had proved that we were more than capable of competing and being in contention for a Hockey's Championship. So it was incredibly frustrating that we weren't getting the wins and we weren't getting the results we wanted. But I really think that adversity and that experience led to a lot of success this past year in my senior season.
As one of the veterans, people are going to turn to you and sort of, how do we right the ship here? Like, do you have any answers to that point? And again, I'm only asking because I think it's kind of interesting to see where people go with how they think things go or how they think things have gone anyway. But like, what do you say to the team after, you know, after a tough game or players that maybe go, hey, Carly, like, what the heck? How come we're not winning?
I really think, it's something that I say to myself a lot when things aren't going my way is just sticking to the plan. I mean, it's easy to, I think, just things are going wrong and it's easy to blame it on one thing or two things and say, you know, we're not winning because this, we're not winning because of the power play. We're not winning because We can't break out, or whatever it is. And of course, those things matter. But in reality, the solution is sticking to your game plans in terms of practice. What are you learning in practice? What have you gotten better at on Monday? Okay, what did you learn on Tuesday? Did you figure out the systems by Wednesday? To have you watch a scouting report, things like that. It's not about just showing up on Friday night and Saturday night. It's about showing up Monday mornings and Tuesday mornings. So it's really about, I think, for myself and people that I'm surrounded by, is just telling them to stick to the plan. You just keep working, keep your head down, and keep going, and you're going to see the results, I think, that you want.
That is good advice. There's nothing wrong with that, for sure. You mentioned that your senior year was a pretty good year, and I would not say that you were wrong at all on that. You hit another major milestone. You appeared in your 100th game against Dartmouth on November 30th, 2019. You guys won that game 6-1, which was huge. I think it might have been bigger, though, and maybe I'll give you a chance to sort of lay down some credit here, because I'm pretty sure they're a huge part of your life. But your dad drove 10 hours to come and see you that night to play hockey, which you said never happens, according to a couple of interviews that I read, simply because he comes to the home games and doesn't go all the way out to the visiting, or to when you guys are visiting anyway. Let's throw some credit around here. How important has your family been in terms of getting you through university, and certainly making you successful in university, but B, just overall, I mean, how much they've done for you?
Oh, those guys are just amazing. I can't say enough or thank them enough for supporting me, not even just in university, but just throughout my life and now. That game was just so special. I was so happy that I was able to share it with my dad. My parents come to most home games. I think they made almost every single one except for, like, someone from my family was there except for one, and it was on a Tuesday night, I think, in my sophomore or junior year, but every other home game they were there, so that really just meant so much to me. And then my 100th game at Dartmouth, my dad actually didn't tell me that he was coming, so so I had no idea. And then we came out for warm-ups, and I was taking a lap, and I saw him in the glass, and it just totally boggled my mind. I was like, oh my god, that's my dad. And he came down to the glass and gave me a wave, and I was just so happy that I was able to share that with him. I feel like, or at least I hope that he was able to celebrate, you know, himself too in that milestone. So that was a really special moment to share with him. And after the game, actually, he hopped the stands and came down to the tunnel, and we got a picture together. So it was really special.
Speaking of special, and I always think that this is pretty awesome, because I know as goalies, you're basically a team of one back there. And I mean, I know you rely on your teammates to help, you know, do your job, but, you know, last line of defense, so to speak, is a one-person job back there. You actually got somebody into the game, or the decision was made to put somebody into the game at the end of that game, which I think is awesome, because I think there's not enough credit given to the third stringers, or to the second line of defense as well, when they come on and help you. What happened at the end of the game in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, so we're up 6-1, and one of my best friends and just totally legend of a human, Jillian Flynn. She's our captain, and she's also was our third string goalie for 4 years. She got to go in the game, and I think that was probably one of the highlights of the game for sure, was that I got to share that with my best friend. And it was just awesome. And I remember she made a stick save, and it's something that we had been working on the past couple of weeks at that point. So I just remember going bananas on the bench, and I was just so happy for her. Like, it was just a textbook perfect save that we had been working on. It was just amazing for her, and I was so happy to share that with her. It really just felt like it was something that we both did, and you know, it's easy to say that, you know, like, I started the 100 games and things like that, but she was there with me the whole time, and the credit is hers too. I mean, she's an incredible goalie partner and an amazing captain and an even better friend. So I was really grateful that she was there and got that opportunity to go in the net. It really couldn't have been more perfect.
When you say captain, and again, only because I think it's super cool when I see this, did she actually wear like a letter on her jersey or on her mask or anything like that? Like, is that something that Jillian had on her, I guess, when she was playing?
Yep. So she was the only one who wore the C. We had the way that our leadership went on the team is we had Jillian, who was our captain, and then we had a leadership team composed of myself and two people from every class, except for the freshman class, only had one person. And then the A's rotated around so that they were able to talk to the refs if they needed. So that was pretty special. And her vote to be captain was actually unanimous. Everyone voted for her, and that really was not a surprise. She's just incredible. And honestly, I couldn't have asked for a better captain for my senior year.
I mean, I think it's awesome whenever a goalie sort of gets a letter to wear. And because, I mean, we all know the rules certainly don't suggest that a goalie wear them. But the fact that there are goalies out there that get that opportunity is awesome. So congratulations to Jillian on that, because I think that is one of the coolest things about that story when I was reading a little bit about it. So this season, obviously things went well. Black Bears bounced back a little bit, reached the playoffs. A 12-11-7 record for yourself, though, a 1.90 goals against average and a 9.34 save percentage, 3 shutouts. Those were the best numbers, personal numbers anyway, of your NCAA career in terms of the just the statistical part of it, not the record, but the statistical part of it, excuse me. Before we get into those playoffs, what stands out from you the most about your final season in the NCAA?
Honestly, the first thing that pops in my head is just the ability just to grind out wins. I mean, we were scrappy. We just found ways to find points. I think in our second semester, every weekend we went into overtime and either pulled out a tie or something of the sort. It was just quite unbelievable. Like, our team just found ways to get points. And honestly, that made the difference in the long run and ended up getting us in the 7th seed compared to the 8th seed. It was huge. And it was just so fun to be a part of. It was fun to grind every weekend. And we always made jokes about how we knew how to tie and we weren't quite sure how to lose or win, but we sure knew how to tie. So it was fun. And our team was kind of just built for that. I think we were built for those close games. We were built for that adversity. And honestly, I think that experience really just helped us in terms of playoffs and pulling out wins that we needed to.
Having played then for 4 seasons with ties, are you a fan of ties or would you prefer a shootout to determine games?
I would like to see a shootout. I like the overtime. I just like having a winner at the end, I think. it's strange getting off the ice and it just not being over. It's just a weird feeling.
I mean, I'm not against that idea. I think I just find it weird though, because some goalies are like, no, I hate the shootout. So I just didn't know if you were a fan of them or not. Do you like them? Are you okay with them?
Yeah, they're fun. Honestly, I haven't been in that many, aside from practices and some small ice games and things like that. But I wouldn't be opposed to seeing kind of a 3-on-3 style overtime. It's kind of what they've adopted in the NHL. I think that is so exciting. And it would certainly eliminate the solid tied games. I think having the 3-on-3 creates a lot of offensive opportunity. So I think it's really fun to watch as a fan. And it's also really fun to play in and compete in as a player.
I don't disagree with you. We play a modified version of that up in U Sports, obviously with the 4-on-4 and then 3-on-3. And I think that the extra room on the ice creates so many opportunities. Yeah, you're entirely right on that. So I don't know if the goalies like it, but it's certainly exciting for the fans, that's for sure. So you guys went into the playoffs, as you said, the number 7 seed, met up again with an old foe in Boston University. And it seems like you guys may have had their number the entire time, because again, you went off, you went ballistic. A 57 save, double overtime, 3-2 win in game 1. Saw you maybe play, I'm, after seeing some of the highlights, I'm almost certain it might have been the game of your collegiate career. And then you guys went out and swept the second-seeded Terriers out of the playoffs. Looking back on game 1, though, what was that night like for you? Because it looked like you were having a ton of fun out there.
It was so much fun. It was just incredible. The game was just close the whole time. And we were just working our butts off. And we knew that at least one of the games was going to go into overtime, just knowing that our character as a team so far that year. We just knew. We knew for sure. It's like, this is going to be a tight series. They were a good team, and they were hot at the time too, and so were we. So we just knew it was going to be a close series. So when we went into that overtime, actually, in the first period, they had a goal disallowed because it was Jesse Comfer, who is an absolute stud in the league. And she came out front. She walked out front from the corner, and she tried to stuff it. And I stopped it, and the puck went up, like floated up in the air. She hit it into the net with her hand. And and of course their team celebrated, and they have to review every goal. So this is one of the biggest moments is our team didn't fall. Our coaching staff knew immediately that it was no goal, and everyone just stayed and stick to the plan. So then when we started playing again, we started getting a little bit of momentum, and we were just hoping for every opportunity that we got. So it went pretty long. The game was very long, and it was very fun. In terms of myself, it was just incredible. I was like, okay, let's just keep going. When's the next chance? When is the next chance? And I wasn't even thinking about really anything offensively. I was just thinking of what's my job defensively. What do I need to do? It doesn't matter how long it takes for our team to score. It's going to take however long it takes. I'm going to keep us in this game and make sure that they have that chance to do it. And fortunately, we did. And I think it was our rookie, Ida Coppola, who scored the eventual game winner. So, I mean, that moment was just so amazing. It just felt like we were so built for that game. And it really couldn't have gone any more perfectly.
I mean, we hear all the time from goaltenders, you know, you want to see the puck a lot. You want to get the shots on net just to get into that groove. Were you in the groove that night? Did it feel like this is not going to be a problem? I'm going to play until whenever I'm done now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a point, I think, in the second overtime, so the fifth period of hockey, where I was just like, I will play all night. I don't care how long this goes. I will literally play until tomorrow morning, tomorrow night. I don't care. This is amazing. Just keep me in here. Let's keep going.
So you guys roll through Boston University and their run yet again for the second time in your 4-year career, which is kind of awesome that they had no answer for you, which is entirely the truth. Northeastern, though, was your foe in the semifinal, who, once again, seemed to have your number. Again, different type of series, different type of play from what I've read. Again, was it tough to adjust for? I mean, not for so much adjust, but was it tough getting back into those games against Northeastern, who play a completely different style of game than Boston U?
It was fun. It was Northeastern is an incredibly deep team. They have so much talent, and it was a good game. I think honestly, for the first two periods, we matched really well. Our team just competed and shut down the lines that we need to. We got an early power play goal in the first period, so that was nice to get up. But really, in the third period, they scored a power play goal, and then you could almost feel the air kind of just come out like a balloon. So our team was just kind of – it's like we went into a little bit of a lull. They scored the second goal, and everyone was like, okay, wake up. And then we got back into it, and we just kept pushing. And unfortunately, we couldn't find the equalizer, but it was such a fun game. It was just – we just had so much belief in ourselves and it was so fun competing. And I think, you know, moving forward, I think that for the most part, Maine feels like they probably have some unfinished business. So I'm excited to see what they do next year, and hopefully they can avenge that win. It would be nice.
Right on. That'd be awesome to see if they could do that. Unfortunately, though, that loss did end your college career, which didn't result in an NCAA championship or anything, but I think it's still pretty impressive to list off that you're basically the all-time leader in Black Bears history for virtually every single stat that people keep, which is kind of awesome because you are, you probably know all these numbers and that's great, but I don't think people realize that in your 4 years, you're the all-time leader in wins with 45, saves with 3,029, which to me is just baffling. Save percentage at .923, shutouts with 12, goals against average at .215, while amassing a record of 45, 54, and 18 in those games. In hearing those numbers, which one stands out to you the most as being like the one you take most pride in?
Honestly, it's the wins. It's the wins. I know that it in 4 years or in 100 games played, that's, you know, it's less than a .500 record, but it just reminds me of the growth of the program and just how far we came in 4 years and just how much the culture changed and just all those memories with those people. Like, it's just so fun to win as a team. And it was so fun every time I won with Maine. It's just something that I'll cherish forever. And that's just the first thing I pop into that pops in my head when I hear those numbers. But that's the one I think I'm most proud of is just, I think, the team celebration and the team feeling of competing and being the better team that night.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's usually, I mean, you know, you find people that, you know, like, oh, I've done this or I've done that or whatever. But no, I mean, the 45 wins, especially when you look at where your program started when you sort of took over the reins there and, you know, 4 years ago, and then where it is now. I mean, yeah, it's huge growth in terms of what you guys have done. So congratulations on that. You've graduated. I'm assuming you're done now, right? Is that correct, Carla?
I actually have one more exam tomorrow, and then I'll be officially done.
Okay. Well, best of luck on that exam then. I'm pretty sure certain that you're going to do awesome on it, but you're almost graduated then. So obviously your time on campus will be a little less than it was before. I mean, things are changing and obviously you got more stuff going on now. The town of Orono is maybe not very well known to people and certainly not, you know, a well-known tourist attraction anyway. The University of Maine has a larger population than the town does when it's fully in campus, which I find is kind of awesome about how, you know, college towns work. But what's the one thing that you'll miss the most about being in a college town like Orono? And if you want, I mean, and this is a valid answer, Pat's Pizza would entirely be the right answer if you want.
Oh, I love Pat's Pizza. I actually lived on the street right next to Pat's. So if you looked out my window, you could see Pat's from my bedroom window. So I took a lot of trips over to Pat's, but amazing pizza place. And Orono House of Pizza, spent a lot of dollars there, ate a lot of pizzas there. I mean, I'll definitely miss that with my buddies. But I think the thing I'll miss the most is, one, just going to the rink every day and just the atmosphere there. And then two, just walking down the street and having your friends there. You know, I lived in different places around Orono throughout my 5 years, and it was just so cool to walk to the house next door and just see your buddies. I think that's the thing that's going to be the hardest adjustment is not being able to be so close to my family there. And that'll be tough, but it's just one of my most cherished memories there. And then again, I mean, just showing up at the rink every day, I love the atmosphere. I love just, you know, on my way to class, stopping into the rink and just chit-chatting with the coaches and just sitting down and sharing a cup of coffee or something like that. Those are kind of the things I think I'll always remember, and definitely something I'm going to miss.
So I think this next part is just fantastic because, I mean, I was reading about it and thought, oh my gosh, like, that is the coolest job ever. For those that don't know, you will, eventually when that exam is done tomorrow, you will have graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Athletic Training, which led to a pretty cool opportunity, if I do say so myself, because I'm pretty envious of this. For those that don't know, you were a pretty accomplished baseball player back when you were growing up in Nova Scotia. You played on a men's team as an infielder, which is pretty awesome and certainly shows off your athletic ability. And you've kind of took that passion for baseball with you to Maine, where you worked with the men's baseball team as a student athletic trainer. Former University of Maine baseball assistant coach and Cape Cod League Hall of Famer John Schiffner, he kind of opened a door for you. What happened?
He absolutely did. I love Schiff. He's a great guy, and he just has so much passion and love for baseball. And he's done wonders, I think, for a ton of leagues around the world and particularly at Maine, I think. You know, he's a great presence to have around. He's just got so much knowledge and he's just very wise. So I really enjoyed working with him at Maine, but he is quite the legend in the Cape Cod Baseball League. So he coached for the Chatham Anglers for many, many years, and he was inducted to their Hall of Fame. So my connection through Schiff, fortunately, got me a pretty sweet gig in the Cape Cod Baseball League, where last summer I was able to work down there as an intern, as a student athletic trainer for the Brewster Whitecaps. So that was pretty incredible. I got to be absolutely surrounded and work with future MLB stars. And it was just incredible to be around those guys and just be immersed in that environment. It was huge for my growth as a student and as a professional athlete, or future professional athletic trainer. And it also helped in my personal life as well. It was fun living down there and just being immersed in the Cape Cod culture.
So for those who don't know, where does Brewster play?
So Brewster plays, so the league is, I think it's 10 teams they're all on Cape Cod. Basically these teams gather top tier collegiate players from all around the United States. So I mean, we had players from Tennessee, Michigan, University of Kentucky, University of California, Santa Barbara, just guys from everywhere. I think we had quite a few Alabama guys as well. But it was just so cool to have all these different cultures and all these really elite baseball players, and just had them in one place and competing. And the level of baseball was absolutely phenomenal. It was just so fun to watch, but it was even more fun to work with the guys and really just try and keep them at their best and help them avoid any kind of injury and things so that they can keep going. But it was just amazing. I met so many friends and just people that I got to work with. I can't say enough good things about that league and about the Brewster Whitecaps.
Talking about the league, I mean, a bit of a, I guess, a bus league in terms of how it goes. Takes you back to your old days in Nova Scotia, bussing around with the team.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. It kind of reminded me a bit of my junior days where just on the bus with like 20 guys. But unfortunately, I worked under my boss, Courtney Birch, and her and I would typically take our own car just to have our own space. And we'd show up a little bit early most times too. So there wasn't too many nights on the bus, but definitely in the car.
No, that's okay. Then, like I said, that's just kind of cool that you got in there and certainly had an awesome opportunity to work with a baseball team, especially when you're, you know, a huge baseball fan and a baseball player yourself. So that is awesome. The good news is, though, hockey didn't fade from the dream either, because you're still making people notice you, and it came into effect this year. The Buffalo Buttes of the NWHL did notice your game, certainly wanted to get a closer look. They used the 3rd overall pick to select you in the NWHL draft this summer, just a couple of weeks ago. One, how cool is it to be drafted by a professional hockey team? Two, how cool is it that NHL legend Pat LaFontaine called your name?
honestly, it's just a dream come true. I think it's everything that a lot of young athletes dream about is playing a sport that they love. Into their adult life. So I just couldn't be happier to be drafted in the NWHL and now officially signed with the Buffalo Buttes. So I'm so happy about that. And I just can't wait to get started and to help this team win a championship. So and then the second one, Pat LaFontaine, I had no idea that was coming, and that was quite a surprise. And I knew some things about Pat, but I don't think I understood the full extent. So when I heard him say my name, I knew that this guy was a legend, so I was just super surprised and so happy. It was so cool. And then my dad was sitting here with me, and he started explaining even more that I didn't quite understand. And I was just like, my jaw just dropped to the floor. It was just so cool. And I probably watched that video dozens of times. I mean, it's just so cool to hear him say my name. I mean, that's just, it's a surreal moment, and it's definitely going to be something that I'll show my kids one day, and something I'll always remember.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's the word weird is right, but it's kind of ironic that you're going back to the city where we kind of got to know you the first time. Obviously, the under-18 Women's World Championship you played in was played in Buffalo, and now you're going back there to play pro hockey. Is it like kind of strange or kind of ironic that Buffalo's played such a huge part in your life despite never really have been there?
Yeah, it kind of feels like it's almost coming full circle, because at that time when I went out to Buffalo for the World Championships, I was in my senior year of high school. I knew I was going to Maine at that point. I knew that I had this big adventure ahead, and I had an amazing time out there in Buffalo. So to go to Maine and just have such an incredible and memorable experience, and then now coming back to Buffalo again after having all those experiences and memories, I feel like I'm ready to be there, and I'm really excited just to get out there and just get on the ice and really just meet the community and work with the coaches and meet my teammates and meet the fans and just be immersed in that environment. I'm just really looking forward to it.
So, I mean, in looking at what's going on in Buffalo, they're kind of putting the band back together, so to speak, when we look at some of the players that have either played there or are playing there and you used to play with as well. Let's run through a couple of these names and you can give me some history on what it was like to play alongside them. That's for sure. Let's start with former Maine goaltending partner, Mariah Fuji-McGarry.
Yeah, so Fuji and I played together. So she was there my redshirt year, and then we played together my freshman year. She was a senior my freshman year. So Fuji's awesome. I mean, she's great. She's got, I'd say the most memorable thing is her heart and her work ethic. I mean, she's always got a smile on her face, and she's always working her butt off. So that's just a fun energy to be around. And she was just a great partner, and she's done really well for herself. And it's good to see her following her dreams and just being so positive. And just, it seems like she's really enjoying every second. So I'm really happy for her. And she's just a great person and an awesome athlete.
Former Maine Black Bear sniper, Brooke Stacy.
Oh, Stacy. Yeah. She's a legend. Stacy, she's awesome. She is just an absolute grinder. She knows how to score goals. She'll bury everything in front of the net. And, that was probably something I missed, I think, when she left. She's just tough in front of the net, and she's got to score a touch, so that's nice. And then defensively, she's absolutely unbelievable. So huge kudos to her. I definitely miss her. I hope that she's back in Buffalo next year.
Fellow draftee from this year, former Team Nova Scotia forward, former Alberta Panda, and certainly the Canada West leading scorer from this year, your friend Autumn McDougall.
Yeah, Audie's the best. So we played Team Nova Scotia growing up as kids. So probably from ages 13 to 14, and then right up until we went to university, we played on the provincial team, and we would go to tournaments together and things like that. And then we also went to Canada Games together in Prince George. Would have been our senior year of high school. So Audie and I have some good adventures and some good stories, and she's absolutely a phenomenal player. She's fast and she's feisty, and I'm so happy to play with her again. I think that she's just a great player and a great presence to be around. She's just so much fun, and she's got so much character. So I'm really looking forward to being in the ring with her again.
I might have this wrong, and I was trying to read and add this quickly, but did you play on Team Atlantic as well, Carly?
I did, yep.
So
yep.
You would have played with Marie-Jo Pelche as well then?
Yep, so I played with MJ. Yeah, we have we have more of a rivalry history, but we're pretty good buddies. Yeah, so
why is there a rivalry between you two? What's going on there?
Well, every year at the Atlantic Challenge Cup, she would play for Team New Brunswick, and I played for Team Nova Scotia.
Oh, okay.
So those games were always really close, and I had a lot of good friends on Team New Brunswick as well. So those games were just a ton of fun, and MJ was always just a force on the ice. So when I got to play with her with Team Atlantic, I mean, that was it was just so nice to have her on my blue line. And then I actually played with her for Team Canada the summer series, and same sort of thing. It was just so nice to have her on my side of the ice. But then the rivalry continued because she played at UNH,
right?
So there's the Black Bear Wildcat rivalry that's pretty fun to be a part of. So it was actually quite funny. We had a series against them, and in the first game she came into the back door as a defenseman and scored one, and someone got a picture of it, and she posted it on her Instagram the next day. So it's a picture of her scoring on me, and I think I commented on it. I said, "Why didn't you tag me?" And so we've had quite a few good laughs and great stories. So MJ's just an amazing hockey player. She's a force on the ice, and again, I'm just so grateful that she's going to be on my side of the blue line now. So I'm really looking forward to playing with her again.
I mean, a lot of opportunity to sort of rekindle some friendships, and certainly to get back into the main Black Bear sort of family with some of these players. I'm happy to see a number of players, obviously, you're going to be playing with that you already know. It's always easier to get into a team when you know a few people, that's for sure. I'm also interested, because I was reading about it, you're also going to pursue your master's degree. What are you doing that in athletic therapy as well, or are you looking at something else?
So I'm actually, I've applied to two different schools in Ontario for physiotherapy.
Okay.
So basically an extension of the athletic training degree, yeah. which is something I'm hoping to do after hockey's done, whenever that may be. So hopefully I'll be able to study at the same time while I'm playing. But I guess the ultimate goal is just to continue playing hockey and then get another degree under my belt so that when my hockey career is finally over, that I'll be able to kind of go into the athletic training side again and hopefully work at the professional level as a medical provider. So I want to keep playing hockey, certainly as long as I can, as long as some team will have me. So we'll just see how it goes. Just trying to take it one year at a time and see what happens.
So, I mean, we got a few minutes left here in the show and certainly on your interview time. I don't want to take up too much of your time. You got an exam tomorrow, as you said. So we'll go through a few of these questions. You want to do a couple of goofy, fun, crazy questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's have some fun with this, because and again, you can say whatever you want and have some laughs with this if you want, but let's start with this one. I was going through the rosters, going through the information, going through everything on the main Black Bears site about who's played where and done what. With all of the international players that littered the rosters for the Black Bears over the years, Did you happen to learn any new languages or any new curse words that you were using in the crease?
Yeah, I might have learned a few curse words. I couldn't tell you what they are now, but there was just phases, I think, throughout my career where we would all kind of adapt some words or styles of music or expressions from different people from around the globe. So that was definitely memorable. But yeah, for sure.
Not including your own Alfred Arena, what was an arena you loved to play in that you were like, this is the best place ever?
Matthews Arena for Northeastern's home rink.
And which arena did you hate the most?
Oh, University of Connecticut.
Really? UConn's? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was just the way the rink is set up, but for some reason it was just where we have to warm up and kind of the way it's structured is the away team has to wait for the whole UConn team to walk by us.
Oh, okay.
And then we have to walk directly behind them and their security guards and all this, I think, outside distractions. I don't think it was just a little bit harder to kind of dial in compared to other rinks.
In all your time at the University of Maine and maybe before that, and again, list as many as you want, who were your favorite teammates?
For sure, Gillian Flynn. That's just the first thing that pops in my head she's one of my best friends. So her name is an easy one for sure. Another one I think of is Allison Mateau. We're pretty close buddies and we still are in pretty good contact. And Kaylee Hodgson, another one, Brittany Colton. And I really just can't say enough. I could go on and on and on, but I've just had so many amazing teammates throughout the years. I guess one of the throwback ones that a lot of people might not recognize is Emily Brigham. She was my captain, my red shirt in my freshman year. And she was just one of the best captains I ever had. She really just looked after me and she was just incredible. So she was definitely one that's memorable for sure and was good for the younger kids at that time.
Who was the player? And you played against a ton of them that people would know. Names are fairly recognizable for both national teams and professional careers now. But who was the player that always seemed to have your number and could find the back of the net no matter where she stood?
Oh, Caitlin Ray on Merrimack. Oh man, she scored some nice goals on me. she's a phenomenal player with the scoring touch. I think she was totally underrated in her first couple of years, and it was no surprise to me when she came out and just absolutely lit up the league her junior and especially her senior year. I mean, yeah, she's good.
I'll give you a soapbox as well. Is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to support? Anything you want to throw some attention towards in terms of, you know, charities or anything you're working with?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can say a piece about there's a lot going on right now in the world, especially with the COVID virus. I guess a lot less now that things are on pause, but a lot of people are dealing with a lot of things right now. And I just hope that everyone out there is safe and happy and hopefully with those that they love and hopefully that they're able to be in contact with them in some shape or form. But yeah, that's the biggest thing. I just hope that everybody out there is okay and reaches out if they need to and make sure they're taking care of themselves and their mental health.
That is fantastic advice and certainly excellent information as well about, you know, just finding that peace, I guess, in terms of dealing with this entire setup. So I know you got to study for an exam and we're almost out of time here. We got to get out of here right away. Carly Jackson, I cannot thank you enough for coming back and for giving us a little bit more of your time. Always good to talk with you. And by all means, you do know that we'll be probably keeping an eye on you next season as well as you get into your first professional season, assuming, knock on wood, that everything comes back. But yeah, come on back whenever you want. If you want to come back and chat more hockey, we'd be more than pleased to have you back for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for having me out. I'd love to come out anytime. You guys have a great show, and it's always a pleasure.
We appreciate the kind words, and certainly, like I said, the door will always be open for you, Carly. So best of luck on the exam tomorrow, and certainly next season when you get going for sure.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So there is Carly Jackson, a phenomenal goalie from Nova Scotia, who we got to talk to a few years ago, and certainly talk to again today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Hockey Show. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio coming up right away as we got to get out of here. Hour's almost up here, folks. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next Thursday here on the Hockey Show.